Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Well, some of you may have noticed that it was Valentine's Day this last week, and I received a card. It was from my wife, just let me clarify that. And I felt compelled that I ought to just share it with you this morning, especially as she's in here to receive it and to hear it. And you might, if you're watching online, you might just want to grab a bucket now, just while you, and they will be passed around. It's not the offering yet, it's the bucket. And it says this, it says, "To my husband on Valentine's Day, when we met, I knew at once that we were meant to be." Oh, so I'm welling up already. "I couldn't have been happier when you said that you loved me." Now, you know when you sense there's a but coming. Well, I opened it, and there was the but. And it said something like this: "Your windy ways, and despite all you do, my love for you just pushes through. You pick your nose, wear sweaty clothes. How I must love you to ignore all of those. You've embarrassed me in public. You're such a disgrace. But love makes my heart beat at a very great pace." Oh dear. "Why I love you, I do not know. But my love for you just continues to grow." And then it finished with a prayer that said, "Dear Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand my man, love to forgive him, and patience for his moods." Moods? "Because Lord, if I pray for strength, I'll beat the living daylights out of him." Amen. Isn't it at the Shabbat that you actually have to stand and say something about your wife?
Yeah.
To honor your wife. Oh, payback. Payback. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. Oh, wonderful. Well, love is a funny thing, isn't it? Did you know that Saint Valentine was imprisoned, beheaded, and buried on the 14th of February, 269 AD, for helping persecuted Christians and marrying Christian couples? And while in prison, he prayed for his jailer's daughter, and her blindness was healed. On the day of his execution, he left her a note signed, "Your Valentine," which she was able to read because God had healed her. This love's a funny thing. But, you know, I want to say that in God's eyes, it's one of the most crucial things that we need to get right. If we're going to be the bride he desires without spot or wrinkle, without stain or blemish, and he's going to need a big iron for me to iron up my wrinkles, but because it's this love that sets us apart. It's love that set apart the early church. It's love that calls them to sell all their goods and possessions and to distribute them so that there was not one needy amongst them in Acts 4. That's love in action. And it's why Peter said in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And boy, is there a multitude of sins that needs covering. But love covers over a multitude of sins. And Peter says, above all, because as Paul says, even if we have all God's gifts and prophecy, and we can prophesy till the cows come home. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that moves mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, it's not what I'm speaking on today, but I really felt compelled to say it this morning. Because there's a focus at the moment, and I feel in my life, and I believe in the lives of others as well, that God is saying to us, we need to focus on love and our love for one another. And wherever you listen at the moment, there's a focus on us becoming the true bride of Christ and adopting that love that he showed us. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And why is it so important to demonstrate this? So that we appear different to the world out there. And as it goes on to say in verse 35, by this love, not by this sign, not by this preaching, not by this teaching, not by this prayer meeting, not by this Bible study, but by this love, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And what a witness to the world the church will become. What a testimony to the bay when the churches that represent the Lord Jesus Christ start to put love into action. And love one another deeply. Amen. We need to love one another deeply. Because if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, it's through that love that he will reach a hurting world and a lost world. It's through that love that we reach our neighbors, our work colleagues, our family, our friends. It's the love of Christ that compelled Paul. It's the love of Christ that needs to compel us to be the people of God he's called us to be. Now I digress slightly. I want to take you to the book of Ezekiel. You've already been there this morning. But I want to take you to another couple of passages in the book of Ezekiel that you'll know very well. I'm going to try and marry them up together. And, you know, I'm so conscious the days of just grabbing a sermon off the shelf are gone.
Amen.
You know, I know we've all done it at times. But, you know, the days of just picking something and think, oh, that'll do, they're gone. We need to hear God.
Amen.
We need to hear what God is saying for such a time as this. And I believe God is speaking to his church. He's speaking to his people on a weekly basis. He's taking us on a journey and everything is dovetailing together, fitting together. And this is what God's put on my heart. I want to start by Ezekiel 37. You'll have heard it before. You've probably heard it many times. Turn to it with me if you want. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. That's an important thing. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to the bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and make you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. Can you imagine being there? My goodness me. A bone on bone, flesh on flesh. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Lord, I thank you once again, Father, for your word, which is with power sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide even joint and spirit, joint and marrow, soul and spirit, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the power of your word this morning. Lord, I pray you will speak through me. Use us, Lord God. Let my words go and your words come, Father, because I am totally reliant on you this morning. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is good to ask questions. There was a song that said there are more questions than answers. And I think it's true because it's through asking questions that we learn. Children ask questions all the time. Well, I certainly do. They kind of temper it a bit as they get older, but when they're younger, question after question. Why is Torquay so hilly? Why are wheels round, Mum? Why is Dad so good looking? All sorts of different questions. And as many of you probably know, they usually ask the wrong question at the wrong time. And they say exactly what they see. I remember when Sim was out with one of the girls, and maybe several of them, and they were quite small, and they were in our van. And it was a warm day, so the windows were open. And a gentleman of, well, let's say, rather large proportions was heading towards them. I mean, he added a new dimension to the word obese. He really did. And there was a moment of realization for Sim. He was heading towards the van. The children are next to her, and the window is open. And she knows what's going to happen next. So she tries to close the window. But there's a finite time for these windows to wind up and close. She's never prayed so much. She's got her finger on the button. She's going, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then the time comes. The man's getting closer. And then they see her. She's interceding. She's saying, Lord, get that window up. And then he's spotted and out it comes. Mummy, why is that man so fat? And by the skin of her teeth, that window closed, praise God. Just in time. Children learn from asking questions. And when we ask questions, God is looking for us to learn something. And when God asks us questions, as he did with Ezekiel here, I believe he was looking for Ezekiel to learn something, and he was looking for us to learn something. I mean, God knows, doesn't he? God doesn't need any questions answering. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But in verse 3, he says, Son of man, can these bones live? Why? Why was he asking him this? I believe one of the things, and I'm sure there's other reasons, but I believe one of the reasons was God wanted to see what Ezekiel actually believed. He wanted Ezekiel to see what Ezekiel actually believed. And by asking the question, it brought this to the surface. Did he believe that this valley of dry bones could actually live once again and become a vast army? As it's not the sort of thing you see every day, really, is it? Well, certainly not in my experience, not when I'm walking down Torquay High Street. I remember back in the late 80s, not long after I was saved, and I was at a church in Loughborough, and I was serving as part of the children's ministry, and the senior minister took us out on a thing called Region on the Road. It was an evangelistic outreach, and the children would do some songs and sketches, and then the regional superintendent of the time would preach. We went to many venues, and his message was always on Ezekiel 37. And so week after week, we'd hear this message. And we'd hear the same sermon. And we'd repeat his lines before he got to them. And one of his favorite bits was when he spoke about verse 2, when it says, they weren't just dry bones. They were very dry bones. And we'd all be saying, they weren't just dry bones. They were very dry bones. They were very, very dry bones. They were very, very, he was from Scotland. They were very, 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 very dry bones. Yorkshire, Lancashire, somewhere around there. And every week he'd repeat this, and we'd get in there before him. But this was an impossible situation because they weren't just dry bones. And I love how the Bible puts that in. They were very dry bones. It was an impossible situation in the natural. It wasn't just bad, but very bad. And I believe God was asking Ezekiel to see what he believed, what he thought was possible or what he thought was not possible. And I believe God is asking us the same question today. What do we believe? Do we believe it is actually possible or not? Can we see the miraculous? Can God actually do it? Because it's black and white. If God doesn't do it, then nothing will happen. If God doesn't do it, nothing will happen. But if he does do it, then nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe God was asking Ezekiel so that he recognized his own complete inability and inadequacy compared to God's limitless ability. Amen. We need to remind ourselves that it's not about us. It's all about him. Amen. And it's about us simply believing, just like when Jesus said to Jairus, when he came to Jesus to ask him to heal his daughter, and Jesus got distracted by the woman with the issue of blood. And in verse 36, it says, Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Now, we've all done it. We've all thought, well, if I pray a bit louder, if I shout, if I pace around and talk in tongues. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. I can shandai with the best of them. Have a Kariba, she came on a Honda, Caligas eater, whatever you choose to say. And you know, and we've all seen the videos, haven't we? Where we see these people praying for them in the name of Jesus. And we see these videos and we think, well, if I go and pray like that, and we come to the prayer meeting next week and we go, in the name of Jesus. Listen, we need to have a word with ourselves sometimes, don't we? We need to start to realize it's not. Listen, if noise was power, my old Mini 1000, that's a car for some of you younger people here, my old Mini 1000 would have given a Grand Prix car a run for its money. Noise is not power. It's God who has the power. And if God doesn't do it, nothing happen, as they say in the West Indies. Nothing happen. But when God does, hallelujah. The miraculous is there. The miraculous is before us. Hallelujah. And it's about what we believe. It's not how loud we shout, how much we shandai. It's about what we believe. And I want to say to you, what do you believe today? Because if you believe we're living in days where dry, very dry bones can come back to life, I believe you're going to see some of those things happen. Hallelujah. Because just like in this valley, God wants to bring order out of chaos. There was bones everywhere. There was sin. There was all types of stuff. And God brought it all back together in order. Hallelujah. And for some of you, God wants to bring it all back in order again. Hallelujah. You've been scattered. Things are in chaos. You don't know which way to turn. God is going to bring order if you believe. If you'll prophesy to those dry bones, that chaos, and say, come back together, and God is going to do the miracle. It's not about you, it's about him, hallelujah, and what he's going to do through you, praise God. Whose report will you believe? Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, but anyone who comes to it must believe. Mark 16, 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Those who believe. Lord have mercy. Those who believe. Don't need that anyway. Those who believe. Do you believe today? Yes. Do you believe today? Hallelujah. Verse 3, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. In other words, I most definitely cannot, but I believe that you can. Matthew 19:26, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What are you declaring today? What are you saying over your circumstances? What are you speaking? What do you believe about your family situation? That person who's sick, that child who's away from the Lord, what are you believing today? Because today Jesus is saying to you, only believe. Only believe. And God is able. God is able.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure you've heard a million points preached and taught from this passage over the years. But the other thing I believe God wants to remind us of today is that this is about cooperation between God and man. This isn't just a man thing. It's not a man thing. It's a God thing. But God chooses to use man, hallelujah. He chooses to use those who believe and use those who make themselves available to him. God got Ezekiel to acknowledge there was nothing that God could not do, and it was all down to God. And then, and this just blows my mind, God didn't just do it himself. He used Ezekiel to actually do it and perform the miracle. God's looking to partner with us, to those who believe, and he wants to work through you and through me to work the very miraculous that can only be attributed to him so that he gets all the glory. God wants to demonstrate through you and through me that in our weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9, his strength is made perfect. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him, to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. As we know, he can do all things. There's nothing he can't do. According to his power, amen. His power that is at work. Where? That is at work where? In us. In us. His power's at work in us. That blows my mind. The power of the almighty creator God of the whole universe is at work within me. Little old me. Why? Why would God choose to do that? I don't know. I'll have to ask him when I get there. But until I do, I understand that he wants to use me. Praise God. He wants to use us. He wants to use you. But he doesn't just want to use you just with a little prayer here and there. He wants to use you for signs and wonders to accompany you as a believer of the word. Hallelujah. Amen. These things are for those who believe. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, when we cooperate, things get done and things get sorted. Hallelujah. We had a little bit of an incident yesterday at our house. Not uncommon in our house to have incidents, but as always, if ever there's an incident, I was 200 miles away in London and Sim was out and there was a call from Jess. And it said, everything's okay, but... And when you hear those words, you think, uh-oh. Well, Carissa, bless her, was looking to make toad in the hole. She'd caught a couple of toads. She was all ready. She dug the hole. And the recipe said to do some caramelized onions. So Carissa thought, well, let's get on with it. Let's get it done. So she put a bit of oil in the pan. Turned the gas on. Went and cut the onion. Went into the living room to ask Caitlin something. Turned around and yes, the pan was on fire. Was heard about the house. Sim was out, I was out. Ben had just got home, praise God, because God's always in control. Jess was upstairs. They heard the children downstairs screaming, and that's nothing unusual, but this was just more than a spider scream. This was something different. And they headed downstairs and they see this big orange glow coming from the kitchen, reflecting in the hallway. And they thought, oh my goodness, the house is on fire. And by this stage, the flames were 2 to 3 feet high and were just licking around the extractor hood. So Jess phoned the fire brigade. Carissa ran out with the dogs, took the dogs upstairs. Sophia managed to get to the hob and turn the gas off. Very sharp. Bethany was looking for the fire extinguisher and Emily was getting her Crocs and phone and ready to walk out the door. And Ben came down and managed to grab the pan, the burning pan, and carry it out of the kitchen and put it in the back garden. Job done. All sorted. Meanwhile, Sim's walking home from town. Fire engine with its blue lights drives past her. Never dreamed it was going to our house. Got back, all the neighbours are out. Smoke alarms are going mad. Smoke coming out the door. But all the firemen had to do was check that everything was out and safe and sorted. I said to Sim when I got home, I said, they didn't need us, did they? They sorted it themselves. They worked as a team and they cooperated together and got the job done. And I want to say to you, that's exactly what God wants to do with you and with me, as he did with Ezekiel. And he will do the same with those who are willing and those who dare to believe it. We're willing to cooperate with God and we will see the miraculous. We will see the signs and wonders. We will see the things we've only read about in the book of Acts. We'll start to see them as a reality. We will write our own book of Acts. Hallelujah. Amen. Of the goodness of God in the land of the living. So Ezekiel was told to prophesy. He said, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, dry bones. Note the specifics. Dry bones, not just bones. Dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. And as we know, prophesy to these bones. And as he did, they came back to life. I tell you, there's some situations you need to learn to prophesy to. Some circumstances you need to prophesy to as God gives you prophecy to speak into your circumstances and situations. And you will see them turn around. You'll see God intervene in ways you never even dreamed possible. Because this is what shows the world out there who God is. Now, how are we going to see this happen? And this takes me on to the second passage. Because we're not all at the right place yet. But Philippians 2:13 said, God is working in all of us, making us willing to do and obey. Changing us from one degree of glory to another as he does, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now we may not all be at the same place, but we all need to get to the same place. Let me say that again. We may not all be at the same place at the moment, but we all need to get in the same place. We all need to get in the presence of God. And I don't care where you're at or where you've been. There is only one place for every single one of us that's going to change us and change our circumstances. And that's in the presence of Jehovah. Amen. Let me read to you from Ezekiel 47. A passage again you know well. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out again through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the east, south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to my waist. He measured off 1,000 and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. And he asked me, son of man, do you see this? The place where we all need to be. If we are going to be the ones who do the works of God, who prophesy to the dry bones and who see the disintegrated limbs coming back together again and coming back to life, the place we need to be is in the river of God.
Amen.
Amen. If we are going to see what described in Ezekiel 37, and I believe that there is a call for us to this is not pie in the sky, this is not something that we dream of, this is reality, and God wants us to demonstrate the reality, his reality, to a world that doesn't see his reality. Amen. But if we're going to do it, we need to get in the river of God.
Amen.
Now, I've lived down here for 5.5 years, and one thing that I've noticed, that when we go to the beach, not everyone goes into the water. Now, there's people like Pastor Tony, where nothing can stop him from dashing to the water and diving straight in, as I'm sure you've seen. One day. And then there's others who are willing only to stick in a toe or a finger, and that's as far as it goes. And then there's others who wouldn't even go near the water, no matter how much you paid them. Now, I wonder where you come in that spectrum. Because just as with people swimming on Torquay Beach, there's a river of God flowing. And God is inviting all of us into the water to taste and see that the Lord is good. To experience his love and his glory, to bask in his presence, and to be changed from one degree of glory to another.
Amen.
To come to a place where we, the bride of Christ, without spot or wrinkle, stain or blemish, can be the ones where signs accompany us as the believers of the word. Now, the other observation that I've made is that on a hot summer's day, you go down to the beach, and it's standing room only. Not a space to be had. and barely room to get into the sea. Now contrast that with the Boxing Day sea swim. And it's not quite so busy on the beach when the water's about 11 degrees centigrade. Suddenly there's not quite so many people willing to cast off restraint and plunge into the deep. Only nutcases like me and Tina and a few others who've lost their brains over Christmas. And the difference is the difference in temperature. A nice warm summer day and the temperature contrast is far more bearable than a cold winter's day when the wind's gale force 10 and the rain is horizontal. There's a difference in temperature that stops people going in the water. Let's have the band, if there's any people here for the band or anybody who can play keys, come please. Why is it so difficult sometimes to get in the river of God like Ezekiel did? Because of the spiritual temperature difference between where we're at and where God is at. And the only way we will ever get used to his temperature and get acclimatized to his environment is by getting in the river. You can go in the sea and you can put your toe in. You can put your ankles in. You can wade up to your knees. But your body will never be fully acclimatized to the temperature of the water until you are right in. You want to be a man or a woman of God with signs accompanying you as a believer of the word, seeing the miracles that we read about in the book of Acts happening. You've got to get in the river. And toe in is not good enough. Knee in is not good enough. Waist in is not good enough. Because there's a greater depth that God is drawing you to, hallelujah. And he wants to measure off another 1,000 cubits to a river that you cannot cross because the water's deep enough and deep enough to swim in. The only way to get yourself totally acclimatized is to go to the place where it's too deep to stand and you have to swim because you become out of control and he takes control. Is there anyone willing to get in the river today? Is there anyone willing who says, I want to get in this river of God, this river that's flowing? Who is going to cast off restraint and throw themselves at God in the river of God? How do we get ourselves ready for what God's going to do? How are we going to see the miraculous? How will we see the dry bones coming back together and life coming back into dead situations? Where do you find the healing? Where do you find the miraculous? Where do you find the breakthrough? Where do you find the deliverance? It's in the river of God. The river of God is teeming with life, we used to sing. And it's not in the shallows. Because it was in deep water that the prophet was led. And God wants to lead some people out of the shallows and into the deep. When Peter and his companions had fished all night and caught nothing, where did Jesus send them? Didn't send them to the shallows. In Luke 5 verse 4 it says, Jesus commanded Peter, put into deep water. And let down the nets for a catch. God is calling people out of the shallows and into the deep. He's calling you out of the shadows and into the deep. Because if you're going to see the catch and the miraculous and the dry bones come into life, you need to get out of the shallows and into the deep. You need to put down your net in the deep water. Church, we've fished for too long in the shallows. We've waded into our ankles and our knees and some up to their waist. But I tell you now, God is calling us to put out into deep water where we are totally out of control and he is totally in control. Hallelujah. But I'm frightened of water. I get my feet wet. It's cold. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. But it's only when you're willing to go. Because God's looking for people like Peter, who responded to Jesus by saying, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will." Like Isaiah, before the throne, "Who will go? Here am I, send me." Recognizing his complete inadequacy compared to God's supremacy, God's glory, a man undone. Ezekiel realizing that he could do nothing, but God does everything. "Oh, but I haven't brought my swimming costume." Just get in there. God will take care of everything. Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." It's time to let yourself go in deep water. It's time to come to that place of deep water. "I've never experienced a river before." God's not going to let you go. When I was small and I had to go somewhere, my mummy used to hold my hand. Amen. Didn't you? The other way around now. God's not going to let you fall. He's got you. You are his child and he cares for you. You need to let go and let God. Let's just bow our heads this morning. We've got a few minutes. I know we're over time, but I just want to give the Holy Spirit a few minutes just to do what he needs to do. Because I believe there's a river flowing here this morning. There's a river in this house.
Amen.
And it's not just about today. There is a river flowing in this house. And God's calling us to bathe in that river. He's calling us into that river. Out of the shallows and into the deep. Maybe you've never even dipped your toe in. You've never known a relationship with God. You've never been in a place where you've surrendered your life to God. Because when Christ died on the cross at Calvary, he made a way for you to be reconciled back to God once and for all. And therefore you can approach his throne of grace, Hebrews tells us, and find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you've never given him that opportunity and asked him into your life, asked him to forgive you for your sins and turn your life over to him, I want to give you opportunity to do that this morning. If you're watching online and you've never done that, taken that step, I'm going to give you opportunity to do that today. To get in the water for the first time. Or maybe you've, through the circumstances in life, you were once in the water and you've come back out again. And you said, "No, it's not for me anymore." I want to tell you, God is calling you back into the water today. So if anyone here this morning needs to commit their lives to God for the first time or recommit their lives to him, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you, just I want you to quickly pop your hand up, catch my attention so we can pray a prayer. Thank you. Is there anyone else here this morning who needs to do that? Just quickly catch my attention. Anybody else here to say? Because God is calling you. God is calling you. I'm going to pray a prayer together to help this person. And I'd say just make sure you speak to someone before you leave today that they can just help you with that decision. I'll give you a pack that gives you some information on that. But we're going to pray a prayer together that just enforces that decision that you've just publicly made. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's faith that saves you. It's believing that saves you. Believing in the Lord Jesus. Believing that Christ raised him from the dead. And you will be saved, Romans 9:10. So let's pray this prayer together and help this lady and help anybody who's watching online as well this morning. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, today I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your gift of life. I thank you for dying for me. I confess my sin. I confess my shortcomings. I acknowledge my need of you. and I accept your gift of salvation. Forgive me for my sins. I choose from this day to follow you and to serve you and to give my life to you for the rest of my days. With your help, I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just give God some praise this morning for that person and anybody else who responded online. And if you responded online this morning, I want to say, make sure you let us know, notify us, send a message so that we can help you with the next step, because that is the decision. That's the start of the journey. And God has not finished with you yet. Hallelujah. But I want to say this morning, I appreciate time has gone. And if you're able to stay just for a few moments, just while the guys lead us, I believe there's a river flowing. If you want to say to God today, I want to be out of the shallows and into the deep, the altar is open. The river is open. This is about you and God, between you and God. And I just want to encourage you to say, Lord, I want to let go of everything in me, and I want to go into that river. I want to go deeper. I want to go to that place where I am out of control and you are in total control. Let's stand this morning. Thank you, Jesus.